Wow, it's been a great service so far. I feel like I could go home. All the good stuff I heard so far. But welcome again. And if you're here to hear the word, you're in the right place. And let me pray first before I start to get the great God in heaven. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to your people, to preach your word, to talk about you, God, and what great things you have done for us, God. May your spirit speak through me, God. I am flawed, but your word is flawless. I pray, God, that your word would be spoken today. If anything is not said right, that you would forgive me. And may the audience forgive me as well, God. We love you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, today's message is about the bread of life. And I kind of enjoyed doing this study. Why? Because I love bread. You guys know what this is? This is hard dough bread. We could have did communion with this, but Uriel said it didn't what it was missing? It's not unleavened bread, so I should have bought a knife so we could slice it up and have. This is fulfilling, trust me. But we're gonna talk about the true bread today. Jesus, the bread of life. And if you're on Zoom, welcome. We pray that your ears can hear and the signal is coming through clear. But you're with us. In John 6, oh, I forgot to mention, my name is Denton, in case you don't know. And my beautiful wife who did the welcome, Jackie Graham. So, time's flying. John 6, 35 to 40. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have not seen me, or you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father give me will come to me, and whoever come to me I will never drive out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last day." Now, Jackie mentioned about promise. This is a great promise. I think Khadijah mentioned the same thing. Jesus here is trying to convince these Jews he is the real deal, Savior, Messiah, the one that was to come into the world, sent from heaven by God to round up those who believe. To be with him in the last days, you know, gather the lost sheep of Israel. Early in chapter 6, Jesus fed 5,000. And that was only 5,000 men that was mentioned. Could you imagine? You know, there's usually more women than men, right? Not to mention children. So why now is he trying so hard to convince these people that who he is and where he came from? Why is he trying so hard? It says in verse 36, but as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. I am the bread of life. Why bread? Jesus used bread, a very common day-to-day living source of food that we have. Even the concept of breaking bread back then, bread was included in the meal. Bread is satisfying. And you guys seen my bread. We could probably feed the auditorium with that. Especially with some butter. Or dipped in some gravy. Bread is fulfilling. It fills you up. And that was my favorite bread, hard dough bread. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. I come to fulfill your life. I come to satisfy you. We all need food to survive, but Jesus wants us to know that I'm going to give you food that lasts forever. Have you ever eaten a meal and felt satisfied? You feel like you could take a nap? But when you get up the next day, you're hungry again, right? In John 6:26, that's what happened to these guys. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs that I perform, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. We make every effort, you know, we go to work, make money, we buy food, you know, to be fed physically. But spiritually, we can be starving. You know, we can be bulimic. In John 6:29, we got to keep going down and maybe back up. 6:29, it says, Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Did they even say, yes, we believe you? No. Here's what they said. So they asked him, what sign will you give that we may see and believe? He fed 5,000. What else do you need? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who have given you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven to give life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. I'm here. Right over the head, right? He fed 5,000. I'm sure somebody in that group was part of that 5,000. Or they had to hear about it, right? Show us a sign. We heard that manna was some good bread that Moses gave us. No, Jesus had to clarify, it wasn't Moses that gave y'all the bread. It was my Father in heaven. That's all we need from you is to fill our belly. Did you hear what they said about Jesus? Nothing. I don't even think they heard him say, I'm the bread of life. Sometimes we want the benefit of Christianity, but we don't want the Christianity. They wanted what Jesus had to offer, but not Jesus, nor his way of life. They didn't even acknowledge him. Jesus came from heaven. If you told me you came from heaven, I'd be like, prove it. They didn't even ask that. They just talked about, we want bread. And they even quoted scriptures. You know, it's like when you want free food, you do anything, right? And that's what we do to get our way. The benefit of using the Bible but not obeying it. You're from heaven. Did you bring some manna with you? The bread the angels ate? God did feed them manna from heaven, even though they disobeyed back in those days. You know, in Exodus 16, verse 4, right? Talks about the manna from heaven. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In the same way, I will test them to see whether they will follow me or follow my instruction. Jump down to verse 15. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. Down to verse 31. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seeds and tastes like wafers made with honey. Sounds good, right? Down to verse 35. The Israelites ate manna 40 years. 40 years of eating the same thing. That must have been good manna. They ate manna for 40 years. I could imagine what they look like after 40 years. Do they look like manna? Until they came to a land that was settled, they ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. Remember, this is the food out of heaven, not from earth. You know, I could see people trying to store it up and sell it. That's why God had to test them. He knows the human heart. And I thought about it. I said, wait a minute. Bread from heaven? If you look in Psalm 78, verse 23 to 25, it actually says, yet he gave a command to the sky above and opened the doors of heaven. It rained down manna for the people to eat. He gave them the grain of heaven. Human beings ate the bread of angels. He sent them all the food they can eat, despite their grumbling. Angels eat manna. I didn't even know they eat. That's a good one. So let's look at manna. Manna versus the bread of life. Jesus said, he is the bread of life. He came down from heaven. Manna was the physical bread. And Jesus is the spiritual bread. Manna was the shadow of the true bread of life, which is Jesus. The Israelites ate manna until they entered the promised land, Canaan, Joshua 5:12. They ate manna 7 days a week, even though they only collected it 6 days out of the week. We break bread today because we are not yet in paradise. We must continue to feed on the bread of life until we die and enter paradise, the heavenly Jerusalem. We participate in the breaking of bread at church the first day of every week to remind us to carry our cross 7 days a week. Desmond and Khadijah did an awesome job, by the way. Back to verse 33 in John 6. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and give life to the world. They actually wanted bread that they could eat, that they thought this bread would make us live forever. Not even the manna did that. Jesus said, I'm the better bread. I'm the everlasting bread, the spiritual bread that leads to eternal life. The Israelites could not comprehend that. It went right over their heads. By the time you got to verse 51, I think they were even more confused or just stubborn. In verse 51, it says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply against him. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drink my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feed on me will be, the one who feed on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feed on this bread will live forever. I mean, if eat my flesh, I'm like, whoa. I mean, I would have been like, you got to explain that one, Dave. You know, we got AI now, right? And Uriel's always, hey, look it up on AI. I'm like, who is AI? Who is this guy? But I did look it up with AI, and, you know, that passage, I'm like, what did the AI said about this passage, eat my flesh and drink my blood? And it said, this is what it says. Jesus used the metaphor of eating his flesh and drinking his blood to describe the spiritual nourishment and eternal life that comes from believing in him and abiding in him, not a literal act of cannibalism. That was a good answer. I couldn't have came up with that one myself. So, it's not cannibalism. My question to you guys is, what bread are you eating? Whole wheat bread, hard dough bread, gingerbread, Panera bread, Olive Garden bread. If you don't like the bread, you make your own bread. We have thousands of religions today, right? Thousands. The bread of life wasn't good enough, wasn't satisfying enough. We went to add our own flavors. I love variety, but there's only one bread of life for me. You can add to it, and you can't take away from it. We must make sure we're eating the right bread. I say most of the Israelites didn't want the bread of life. They were just looking for a meal. Fed the day before, they got up the next day hunting down Jesus for breakfast. He had already fed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. Can you imagine the power of reproduction? Duplicating food like that? Dollar signs would be in people's eyes. You know, people be building barns and stocking up, selling. God said, nope, you eat this bread I send today, eat it all, or else it's going to rotten. Tomorrow I'll send more bread. Make sure you weren't storing anything up. See, they just wanted to hang out with Jesus so they would get their 3 meals a day. They didn't even say, Jesus, we'll take both. We'll take the bread of life and we'll take the physical bread. They didn't say that. They knew who he was. In John 6:41, at this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread of life who came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? He's been saying that since verse 25. When you're physically hungry, you only hear food. Sometimes our knowledge hinders us from the truth, especially spiritual knowledge. You know, Bible says knowledge puffs up. We know you. You're Joseph's son. Who do you think you are? Sometimes because we know someone, we tend not to take them seriously. When is the bread of life not enough? We look elsewhere. We go our merry way. We find alternatives. We create our own religion, own philosophies, own ideology, own reasoning, even our own gods. We have to eat the true bread that produces life, that's fulfilling. It's hard for me to avoid the junk food of life. It's in my face every day, TV, internet, at work. When I'm filled with the garbage of the world, my speech is not wholesome. My thinking is futile. I'm a brute beast. Ask Jackie. She's like, yep. I have to fast from that type of food and desire spiritual food, the bread of life. They said, always give us this bread. It's there for the taking. In fact, it's always been there and always will. When it comes to the bread of life, we can be picky eaters. Right? We can be picky eaters. We have little apps that give us our daily scripture. Right? Give you a one line. God so loved the world, he sent his one and only son. Oh, I ate. I'm full. A quick scripture. Are we picky eaters when it comes to being wrapped up with the world and the world concerned and the world's affair? And the time left over is for eating spiritual food. We indulge in information in the world. I get on YouTube and next thing I know, 2 hours pass. That's what they do. You get entertained and sucked in. I can't be involved in that stuff and thinking that spirituality is going to come out of me. If the Bible was real food, right? For me, how would I react to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? I would say they're full of flavor, right? Now, Lamentation and Numbers, that would be like asparagus. Your plate have to have everything on it. From Genesis to Revelation, everything. That's a healthy meal. Oh, I can't read that book. Full of salt. Got to watch my blood pressure. You know, Satan's serving bread too. Stale bread, moldy bread, modified bread. Bread that didn't come down from heaven. Bread of division, bread of confusion, bread of hatred. He's serving bread. Who's eating it? Most of the people in the world. He is kneading all kinds of yeast into the dough. In Matthew 8, verse 15, Jesus said, be careful. Jesus warned them, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. And the disciples discussed this to one another. They said, it's because we have no bread. They were still lost. It's like they're still looking for food. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Are you hungry or are you full of the world? Or else we'll end up like the Israelites. You know, after feeding the 5,000, in verse 24, they were seekers. They were looking for Jesus, hunting them. Jesus, Jesus. By verse 41, they were complainers. By verse 52, they were quarrelers. By the time you got to verse 66, they were deserters. So here what Hebrews says. Paul said in Hebrews 2, verse 1 to 4, he said, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedient received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? That salvation is Jesus, the bread of life. Let me tell you, the Old Testament, I'm glad Khadijah touched on it, Jackie touched on it. The Old Testament is, I'm realizing that it's a good book because it points you to Jesus. Anyone that tells you that the Old Testament is not important because we're in the New Covenant, maybe fooling themselves. The Old Testament points to the one to come. From the time of Abraham, from Adam to Abraham and Moses, the Old Testament points to Jesus. The Israelites never paid attention, or they would have recognized the bread of life. They would have learned the lessons or seen the signs of the past. I'm not going to knock them because today, we're just the same. So I'm not going to knock them. We have the beginning, we have the middle, and we have the promised end. And the world still don't get it. Even sometimes we don't get it. Even though we know the beginning, we know the middle, and we know the promised end. Ain't that something? But the Bible says, you shall have no excuse. None. We have Bibles, we have phones, we have tablets. I tell you, if we don't pay careful attention, it'll be deja vu all over again. Jesus told his disciples, I have food that you know nothing about. Nada. You're still talking about bread. Even they were confused about physical bread and spiritual bread. It is written that man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word of God. That's in the New King James. I think the NIV, it's in there. So, in closing, by the time we get to John 8, remember we were in John 6, by the time you get to John 8, they finally ask the question, who are you? It's like, what? Who are you? They ask. Just what I've been telling you from the beginning, knuckleheads. Jesus replied. Jesus didn't say knucklehead, but. Who are you? Just what I've been telling you from the beginning. Brothers and sisters, we have to know who Jesus is. We do. We're called to be ambassadors for the world. See, the road is wide, the gate is narrow, and only few are finding it, but you found it. You know who Jesus is. We have to know who Jesus is, who sent him, why he was sent, what does it mean for me? When you fully understand that, you can lead someone else to the true bread of life. Let's not be distracted by all the craziness going on, all the different religions and ideologies and philosophies and parties. Let's pay more careful attention to the one who came to rescue us from all that. May God be the glory.